Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. We have disruptors disrupting everywhere around the globe. Welcome to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show, Feel Like Making Love. We're talking about sex. We are live every Sunday on WHCR. WHCR.org, 90.3 on the FM dial. We are the voice of Harlem. You can also catch me live on my Facebook page, Nick Papadopoulos. And WHCR 90.3 FM is an independent, non-commercial, community radio station known as the voice of Harlem. Please, please, please contribute so we can continue to thrive and serve you. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. To find ways to contribute, I can send you the link to contribute online, or you can send a check and mail it in to WHCR 90.3. Happy Sunday. Happy start to the week. Again, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? We're here. Our purpose is to awaken humanity, awaken everyone to get on the court so everyone gets to leave their individual mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team development, personal development. I run a men's group here in New York City, the Dudes of Disruption Men's Group. We have two sessions coming up. Please come as a guest or send your dudes as a guest. We will take care of them. We're a community that's committed to inspiring men to live life purposefully and to transform the world. So email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. The dudes also run a social action group, a political group. To stay on the court around politics, email me around details for that here in New York City, CoachNick@CoachNick.com. Today's show is Feel Like Making Love, the Bad Company Paul Rogers song, Feel Like Making Love. We're talking about sex. And by the way, who wants it more? Really, who wants sex more, men or women? Do they both want it in the same way? Would knowing the difference between what men and women want, if they want it the same way, would knowing the difference, or the similarities for that matter, be valuable and create something different in your relationship? And by being different around this topic called sex, how would having a healthy sexual lifestyle, a healthy sexy life, relate to other parts of your life, right? Think about that. If you were to have a breakthrough around intimacy and sex in the bedroom, how would that actually relate to your finances? How would that relate to your health and well-being? How would that relate to you managing team members? If you're a manager, for example, or a leader, how would it have you impact and be more effective as a leader? Imagine that correlation. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The first segment, we have Nick's riff and opening thoughts. In the second segment, we have Say What? My voice is a little hoarse. I couldn't do the say what on that pitch, where we share an article that relates to our topic. Our topic, again, is Feel Like Making Love. We're talking about sex. In the third segment, we have Ask a Dudette. We need to bring a lady into this conversation. And we have Dr. Jessica Koblenz that's going to be calling in. And in the fourth segment, we have Parting Shots. Please send in your phone calls at 212-650-6903. We have a bunch of people online on Facebook. Please send in your online comments as well. And first, we start every show, like every week, with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
All right, we start Nick's riff with a quote or a lyric from a song. We're going to start with a quote, and it's from Esther Perel, Dr. Esther Perel, who's an expert on sex and on intimacy and on relationships. She has a number of best-selling books. I took a couple of verses from the article that I'm going to be sharing in the second segment as the quote and as a way to set a context for our show. Esther Perel says, "Women want the play and the imagination where men need less." Esther Perel goes on to say, "Women want to talk first, connect first, then have sex. She says, for men, sex is actually the connection. Sex is the language men use to express their tender, loving, vulnerable side, Perel says. It's their language of intimacy. Women want the play and the imagination first, where men need less. That's Esther Perel. I think that sets a good context for our conversation that men and women, according to Esther Perel, are different. Now, while movies and TV shows and the internet sometimes paint men as a ball of raging hormones with nothing else on our minds, as a dude, and as a dude who's been running men's groups for 10 years, I can tell you that's not true. I mean, not entirely true. There's more to men than that, for sure, right? Men do want connection, by the way. I've been running men's groups for 10 years. Men do want connection like women do. But like Esther Perel says, we show it differently. We show it at different times, and we want to get it in different ways. And that's really the key. I think the key is really understanding and honoring and paying homage to the differences between men and women. You know, the Dudes of Disruption did a couple of shows on sex, and it's been a long time. It's been almost 18 months, which I find fascinating. I find fascinating people's relationship to sex. It seems so unique. It really does. And it's interesting that as a show, we haven't done it in almost a year and a half. I've been running men's groups, as I said, for 10 years. I've been doing personal development workshops with men and women, both for adult and teenage. And it's interesting in both the personal development workshops and in the men's groups I run, the topic of sex seems to be still very mysterious, even taboo, even kind of high schoolish even at times. People giggling and getting giddy and turning red and all of a sudden losing their voice, sort of getting disoriented inside the conversation. It is fascinating. The invitation for this next 45 to 50 minutes is to really get connected to your relationship to sex, and not from a place of right or wrong, rather from a place of noticing, paying attention to what comes up as we talk for the next few minutes here. What pops up? What body sensations pop up? What thoughts are being triggered? People's relationship to sex is really unique. So the purpose of today, the purpose at a high level, is to take any edge or mystery or drama or even giddiness around it. Take it away. I believe everybody has something related to this topic called sex. We have something with it. Again, not good or bad, positive or negative, good, you know, right or wrong, none of that. But we have something. We have something with it. And there's this in our culture, and this is not rocket science, what I'm about to say. In our culture, there's a reluctance to, or even a resistance to even have this conversation. So today's purpose is to take any of that edge or mystery or drama or the bigness and the significance that we give this topic called sex. We're going to have two themes. So theme number one in today's conversation is understanding the differences a little bit more. Who wants to make love more? Do men want to make love more than women? Do women want it more than men? Do men want it more than women? Do they both want it in the same way? If they do, why? If they don't, why? Do they both enjoy the same things? Think about understanding that difference, understanding those differences, and more importantly, then acting and honoring those differences, if there are any as we talk here, can make a world of difference in your relationship. Understanding the difference is important in creating fulfillment for yourself and for others. And I do believe being sexually fulfilled is a big deal. It is really important to your health and well-being. And for those of you who are committed to health and well-being, you definitely want to pay attention to this one. I do believe men and women want connection and both want sex. I mean, I really do. I mean, that's not, again, not rocket science. And we both want it, and we both want it pretty badly. That said, and in relation to sex, my experience is that men and women want to get that connection at different times. which is supported by Esther Perel's opening statement, or sentiment, I should say. Women, as a general rule, want to connect first right up front prior to getting physical and intimate. Men, on the other hand, become softer and more vulnerable and show their feelings during sex and afterwards. So that's the rub, right? You have men who want it, who want to connect during and after, women who want to connect before. That's sort of the universal rub, right? So how do we respect the timing for each of us, and how do we respect our processes? There's a psychologist called by the name of Ann Campbell from Durham University in England, who surveyed more than 3,300 people between the ages of 17 and 40. Half of them, men and women equally included, reported having experienced a one-night stand. So these 3,300 people all experienced a one-night stand. And Ann Campbell, the psychologist, asked them to describe their experience and, more importantly, the emotions they experienced the morning after. What her research showed on casual sex and what it found, that despite women's claims that women say that they can have carefree sex and have carefree sex unattached, 80% of men had overall positive feelings towards a one-night stand. Meanwhile, only 54% of women had positive feelings. This represents one difference between men and women, not right or wrong, but understanding that there is a difference and that we process this thing called intimacy and the journey that we go to get that connection in different ways. And so our understanding and respecting the difference can actually have us be more giving to our partners, give us the opportunity to fulfill their needs. And while we're fulfilling their needs, by the way, you're fulfilling your needs as well. The second theme I want to talk about is, I believe the condition of your relationships at home with your significant other and even yourself can be linked to your partner at home. I actually think the condition of your relationships everywhere in your life, at work, in your community, with your family, your extended family, I believe it can be linked to your partner at home. Meaning, if you're self-expressed and risk-taking in the bedroom, then it's likely you are the same way in other parts of your life. Think about that. If you have a voice in the bedroom, if you're taking a risk, if you're being creative, I believe you show up at work more creative. I believe that there's an opportunity for you to show up in a different way, a different version of you shows up at work and in your community and in your neighborhood. If you're disconnected in the bedroom and you feel shut down in the bedroom, you feel like you're off the court in the bedroom, then you may be showing up that way in other places as well. If you're someone who shows up in the world as being present and connected and being a responsible risk taker and being self-expressed, and you're someone who gives to others and is always in contribution to others and is outwardly focused and has a high level of awareness about self and has a high level of awareness about others, then I believe, this is what I'm contending here, then I believe it's likely you are showing up in those ways in the bedroom, and that the more you can experiment in the bedroom, the more it reciprocates back in your life. Today we're talking about sex. The title of our show is Feel Like Making Love. We got two themes: differences between men and women around sex, and the second part is if and when you're fulfilled in the bedroom, that it impacts the rest of your life, meaning like finances, health and well-being, your business relationships. So before we go to break and we start jumping into the Say What article and we bring Dr. Jessica Koblenz in, our psychologist, I want to ask the Global Tribe of Disruptors, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of satisfaction around sex? 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of satisfaction around sex? And I want you to be honest about it without any judgment, without any comparisons to other people, or even comparisons to what you believe how it should or shouldn't be, right? I think it's really important to get connected. And the disruption today is, let's talk about this thing called sex, because it's really, really important. It's such an important part of our lives. And we always sort of shrivel up away, and we go away, and we hide, and we resist, and we're reluctant around this conversation. Let's disrupt and just put it out on the table. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of satisfaction around sex? More when we come back to today's show, Feel Like Making Love. Please call in at 212-650-6903 and please send in your online comments. Feel Like Making Love. That is Bad Company. Paul Rogers, lead singer of Bad Company. He said, he and his guitarist said they came up with the riff and suggested we put the two together to create a song, meaning the riff and the lyrics. He said, I think that's the feel of the song. The verses are very appealing to the ladies, probably more than to the men. And then the riff comes in, which is all bloody macho, he says. This is quote unquote. It's a big chorus and it worked out really, really well. I think it's a great song, and it definitely is the title of our show, Feel Like Making Love. We've got a couple of online comments from Brother James. I think he's playing on my words from the first segment. He said, put it out on the table. Or I guess I said, put it out on the table. Yeah, got it. And my girlfriend just sent in. She says, on a scale of 1 to 10, your level of satisfaction for sex. My girlfriend says, 10, Marlon. That's good. That's good news. I got my work cut out for me. I gotta stay at 10. Exactly, right? I got a lot of pressure on me now, right? Listen, there's pressure on you. Well, is there pressure? That's a really good question, right? Why is there pressure? Why is there pressure to perform around sex? Something for our global tribe of disruptors to think about. You know, we have Dr. Jessica Koblenz calling in early. So I think I might bring her into our second segment where we do our Say What article. Dr. Jessica.
Yes.
Are you on?
Yep. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Loud and clear. Are you okay coming in a little early?
Yeah, I'm great.
Okay, awesome. I figured, you know what? We have you on the line. We have you on hold. We might as well bring you into the second segment.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Jessica, can you just give a one-liner of who you are to our global tribe of disruptors?
Sure. I'm a licensed psychologist, and I have a private practice in Astoria, New York. And I work a lot with couples, and obviously sexuality is part and parcel of that.
Right.
And I work with individuals there and couples in the private practice. And then I also work at Harlem Hospital.
Awesome. Thank you, Jessica, for being on the show. And you've been on our show before. You are an official ordained dudette, as we say, here on the...
That's my most prized title.
Exactly.
more than the doctor one.
Exactly.
Being a dudette took harder. It was harder.
Exactly. So you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. And today we're disrupting our automatics around the topic called sex, feel like making love. We have Dr. Jessica Koblenz in. Jessica, the question that I asked at the end of the first segment to our disruptors out there is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of satisfaction around sex? You mentioned that you have, you know, couples who come in, you have individuals who you work with. If you had to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, people in general that you've experienced, where would you say? Is there an average on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being lowest?
Well, I think that there's so much bias, right?
Right.
To go into that, because part of it is how vulnerable are people to really talk about what's not working in their relationships.
Right.
And just by nature of being a couples therapist, you know, if I probably don't see the tens, if everything is really great and wonderful,
right,
you might not be reaching out for
right.
a sex therapy consult or for, you know, couples
sure.
therapy.
Sure.
So I probably see couples who have more challenges with that, either
got
with
it.
Intimacy or sex, you know, in general.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, Jessica, we're in the second segment, which is our Say What? I have my voice is a little hoarse, so I can't do the Say What like I normally do. There you go. Thank you so much. Thanks for picking up the slack for me.
Mm-hmm.
We have an article that we want to share that supports the story and the show, that is, and expands this conversation. So I'd like to share with you the article and get your comments throughout as I share here in the second segment. It's an article from WebMD. It's called Sex Drive, How Do Men and Women Compare?, which is one of the themes for today's show. What are the differences between men and women? And there's a couple of quotes that I want to take, a couple of passages that I'm going to quote from the article. The article says, again, the article is from WebMD, Sex Drive, How Do Men and Women Compare? Birds do it, bees do it, and men do it any old time. But women will only do it if the candles are scented just right and the partner has done the dishes first. A stereotype for sure, but is it true? Do men really have stronger sex drives than women? Now, before I share what some of the studies in the article say, what's your opinion on this?
Well, I think that one of the main things is that having that stereotype has brought a lot of stress for some of the men who've come in. And sometimes what I've seen is that guys who are in a relationship who have this pressure of,
right,
oh, I'm supposed to be performing, they can kind of get in their own heads and then have, you know, erectile dysfunction issues or different, you know, where there's expectations where they should like it in every position or they should like it, in, you know, across the board no matter what.
Right.
And in reality, you know, regardless of if it's a man or a woman, it is a stereotype. I've had women who come in who, you know, who have higher sex drives and the men are saying, like, this is, you know, too much. I'm not into it as much as she is. And, you know, and then kind of having to deal. I think when you have that stereotype, there's more tolerance for it.
Right.
If you have, if you have the man who always wants it and then it's like kind of that usual trope.
Right.
But I think it creates sometimes more issues when you have a couple that doesn't adhere to those normal gender stereotypes.
Yeah.
And then there's more pressure and expectation.
That's interesting. I would say my relationship, my girlfriend sent in an online comment and said she's a 10, thank goodness. And I would say in our relationship, she may actually have a higher drive. So it does disrupt some of the stereotype. And it also disrupts some of the studies that show from this article, how do men and women compare. In this article, it does actually share some of those stereotypes that men's sex drives are not only stronger than women's, but also much more straightforward. And that the sources of women's libidos, by contrast, are much harder to pin down. So we're going to jump into this article. The article talks about seven patterns of men and women's sex drives that researchers have found, and they share the research in this article. Obviously, to your point, that some people vary from these norms, right? It's not, you know, that's part of what the show is always about, is about disrupting the automatic, because it doesn't, one size does not fit all. So the article shares seven patterns of men and women's sex drives and how they may differ, right? So the first pattern, Jessica, is that men think more about sex. And it's, according to the research in this article, it says majority of men think about sex at least once a day. And as it relates to women, or in comparison to women, only one in four women. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty surprising. I mean, I think it depends on what they're defining as thinking about sex, too.
Fair.
I mean, like, if, you know, are women thinking more about, like, romantic things, or are they thinking more about their partner in particular, or, you know what I mean? It might
right.
be categorized as something different.
Do you think it's also, do you think it's the case where I think women think about, you know, holding keeping tabs and holding on to all the household chores and making sure that things are in order, and little Johnny and little Susie are being picked up and dropped off at certain times. I mean, even though we have a world where gender roles have evolved, thankfully, right? At the same time, it seems like that many women still are the keepers of the schedule. They're the keepers of planning. They're the keepers of making sure little Johnny and little Susie get picked up and dropped off. Do you think that's part of it, maybe, that men have a little less of that responsibility, therefore they may think about sex more?
I think it more has to do with the wiring. There's some articles that suggest that the way that men and women think are different, and that men tend to be more tunnel vision, so they think about one thing at a time. So if they're doing something related to work, they're thinking about the work. If they're thinking about sex, that's all they're thinking about. Whereas women are wired where they're thinking about a million things at the same time.
Got
and
it.
Are much more able to multitask.
Yes.
So I think, you know, if they're asked, do you think about sex, they might be thinking more about, like, problems that need resolutions or things like that. And, you know, maybe they have less of an issue. But I think that it's really important to remember that each couple is different.
Yes.
I mean, even in my relationship, my husband is an attorney and filmmaker, but has much more flexibility in his schedule. So he's the primary caretaker for our daughter.
Got it.
And so, I don't know, I just think each couple is different. So I'd imagine, like, some of those things you were thinking about keeping tabs on, you know, what's needed for the home, like, there might be more of those thoughts in his day, you know?
Yes, got it.
But luckily, he's not on the line to give his number of what that satisfaction is.
Yes, we'll have him on next week for part two.
Right.
The second pattern of seven, according to this article from WebMD, Sex Drive, How Do Men and Women Compare? It says men seek sex more avidly. So men masturbate more, 66% more than women, who are at 40%. Men seek out prostitutes, whereas women generally don't. And then they give this example around nuns, that nuns do a better job of fulfilling their vows of chastity than priests. According to some research from this article, it says, it cites a survey of several hundred clergy in which 62% of priests admitted to sexual activity compared to 49% of nuns. The men reported more partners on average than women. A third pattern of seven is that women's sexual turn-ons are more complicated than men's. And I'm just going to take a quote from the article. It says, men are very rigid and specific about who they become aroused by, who they want to have sex with, and who they fall in love with. And that was based on some studies they did around if they showed pornography to men and women, men know exactly what they want, whereas women may be more open to and be more flexible around their choices. Does that surprise you?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think if you think about the difference in orgasms between men and women, it's also consistent with these thoughts because there's a much more straightforward and obvious display of when men are orgasming, and for women it's much more nuanced.
And why is that?
I think like 25% of women don't experience orgasms during intercourse or something like that. Like it's not as much of a guarantee, and if it is, then there's also it's much more nuanced. Each woman is different. It's a much more unique process.
Yeah, I'm going to jump ahead, actually, because that's one of the patterns that they talk about, the differences between men and women around sex. To your point about orgasms, that women experience orgasms differently than men. So I'm just jumping ahead to, again, some of the seven patterns that this article from WebMD describes. It says men on average take 4 minutes from the point of entry until ejaculation. According to research, women usually take around 10 to 11 minutes to reach orgasm. That's another difference between the sexes. How often they have an orgasm during sex? Among men who are part of a couple, 75% say they always have an orgasm, as opposed to 26% of women. Why is that important to know that men, on average, according to this research, are 4 minutes, women are 10 minutes, for example? Why is that important to know for the health of a relationship?
Well, it immediately takes the pressure off, right? Where if there's a discrepancy where the woman is saying, being upset about the stamina or how long it's lasting,
right,
to know objectively that, it's not based on her specific partner, but rather, the gender difference of what that is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also important for men to know that, right? If women take longer, not to make their women wrong for it, right? Because I think that's a phenomena sometimes that I think that happens in the bedroom and even outside the bedroom when people are talking about sex, which is making each other wrong, right? And I think to your point, knowing that there is a difference when we orgasm, how we orgasm is important. And if a man orgasms before a woman does, for example, in a particular couple, then what can you still do to fulfill your woman, right? And not just be, hey, I'm done and you've taken care of yourself. I think it's important to continue to be outwardly focused. We're talking with Dr. Jessica Koblenz. We're talking about, in the Say What segment here, an article from WebMD, Sex Drive, How Do Men and Women Compare? Seven patterns. We've listed, I think, four of them so far. A fifth one, Jessica, is women's sex drives are more influenced by social and cultural factors. And it says men know what they want, where women can be influenced by environment, culture, and context. Women who regularly attend church, for example, according to the research, are less likely to have permissive attitudes about sex. Men don't actually show the same connection. Women are more influenced by the attitudes of their peer group in their decisions about sex. Why is that? Why are women more influenced by social and cultural factors versus men, in your opinion, at least?
Well, it was interesting because we were talking about the wiring of the brain earlier, right? So if women are thinking about all of these different things at the same time, then it might be more distracting or difficult if you're thinking about sex and you're still thinking about, the religious upbringing.
Right.
And I get actually a lot of referrals of people who were brought up in religious homes and throughout their entire lives were told that sex is bad, sex is wrong, and then here they are now in their married lives and saying, look, even though this is sanctioned by the church and things are fine, I'm having so much, difficulty getting over like this, these notions that are very ingrained.
Yes.
And whereas men, if they're more able to compartmentalize, if they had that upbringing, first of all, I think just as a gender stereotype, there's much more, there's permissive attitudes towards men having sex. And,
right.
You know, we have a lot of different terms for women who are, you know, permissive, if they're sluts, if they're whores, whatever, you know, like all of these terms. And for a man, it's a player. Like there's kind of these,
yes.
like, you know, highlighted and almost glorified terms for it. So
yeah, exactly.
Even the cultural messages that they get, even within religion and everything else, are really different.
Yes.
But I think men have more of an ability to kind of be in that tunnel vision mode.
Yeah, interesting. Again, we're talking about this article from WebMD, Sex Drive, How Do Men and Women Compare? We've got two more before we go to, and then we'll take a break, Jessica. Let me give you the last two here, the last two patterns that, according to this WebMD article, highlights the differences between men and women. The sixth one is that, where is it here? Women take a less direct route to sexual satisfaction. So they quote Esther Perel, who I started the show with, and she says, I hear women say in my office that desire originates much more between the ears than between the legs. For women, there is a need for plot, hence the romance novel. It's more about the anticipation, how you get there. It's the longing that is the fuel for desire. Is that fair to say in your experience, between the one difference between women and men?
Yeah, but I think that there's certain situations that if any couple is listening to this and feeling like they don't relate,
right.
Should recognize, like if a man is on a medication for like anti-depression or anti-anxiety medication, you know, there's certain circumstances in which it might just be more difficult. So I think we have to be careful also to not paint a picture that there's, you know, if a man is in that situation and not having difficulty with it, that there's like a problem, you know,
right.
with
right.
that.
Right. But what I do want to highlight, though, in this particular pattern, this number six that they're talking about, is that I do think that it's important that that women are wooed and romanced, if you will. I do think that in between, right, in between those times where you're being, in, you know, physical in the bedroom, if you will, or wherever for that matter, right, that we pay attention to our partner, right? That we pay attention to their needs, that we, if they like flowers, send them flowers. If they like you to take the garbage out, take the garbage out. If they want you to support them with the children, do that. If they want text messages during the day to be flirtatious, do that, right? Because I do think there is something about, my experience has been in working with women and men in these personal development environments that women do want a little bit of that substance, if you will. And again, not right or wrong or good or bad. Just that's just been some of the sentiments that I've received back from women. The last pattern is that women's libidos seem to be less responsive to drugs, right? That, you know, men often can take drugs to boost their testosterone, or, you know, you mentioned erectile dysfunction. Men, there are drugs that, you know, that can disrupt that, if you will, and
right.
and do that. Where for women, often that's not the case. So we've been talking about the WebMD Sex Drive: How Do Men and Women Compare? Seven patterns. The question of the show is: on a scale of 1 to 10. What is your level of satisfaction around sex? Because the purpose of today's show is to disrupt this mystery that we have around sex, this you know, shying away from talking about it, and just having a conversation about something that's really, really important and something that's very, very much a part of our lives. So when we come back, we've got Dr. Jessica Koblenz is going to stay on for the third segment. We then have parting shots. Please continue to send in your online comments, which I'll read in the next segment. You can also call in at 212-650-6903. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, thinking, and doing around sex. Today's show title is Feel Like Making Love. Check out the Dudes of Disruption on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also find Nick Papadopoulos on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The question of the show is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of satisfaction around sex? That was Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones. You got to play the Rolling Stones when you're talking about sex. It's interesting. That song has many, many, many meanings. One of the meanings is around sex. There's definitely a sexual innuendo, if you will, and overtone in that song, Brown Sugar. It's also about addiction to brown heroin. And it's also, there's lyrics around how slaves from Africa coming over to New Orleans, specifically to America, were being mistreated physically and sexually abused by their white masters. It's obviously a serious subject matter, but the way the song is structured, it comes off as a fun rocker about a white guy having sex with a black woman. I think it has, again, many, many meanings. What's also interesting about that song, Brown Sugar, it comes from the Sticky Fingers Rolling Stones album. The cover was designed by Andy Warhol, and it featured a zipper. It's kind of interesting. It's a man wearing tight jeans, and it contained a real zipper. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. We still have Dr. Jessica Koblenz. Jessica, I want to just read to you a couple of comments from our Global Tribe of Disruptors. We have Brother Keith Disruptor out there. He says, really great conversation. I've gone through eighth grade sex ed with one of my sons and daughters. It's so important to raise kids with a healthy sense of their sexuality, to set limits, empowering them to make good decisions. Thanks for another great show. You're quite welcome, Keith. Thanks for joining the show. We have Brother James, another disruptor out there. He says, I believe that is largely primal. Sex is a primal, and men may inherently still be the pursuers, hence these differences in the study. Social changes have made women more open to being the aggressor, but wonder how much the social versus the inherent effect. And then Keith has another comment, Jessica, which is, there is so much negative messaging bordering on cruelty that messes people up. Sex becomes a power struggle when love, generosity, and intimacy are not part of the growing up, quote-unquote, experience. Any comments about the comments?
Yeah, I think that it makes me think about couples that I see in private practice who, if there was sexual abuse growing up in their own lives, have a really hard time with not stigmatizing sex, not, you know, giving messages to their daughters. You know, I get these referrals sometimes of like people, you know, the mothers have had their own sexual abuse history, and then they get really freaked out that something's going to happen to the daughter.
Right.
And in the meantime, one of the things that I have to work with the parents on is to not give a message that sex is bad, that sex is wrong, and,
right,
you know, because you don't want to go to the other side of that. I guess another thought that I had, just in terms of that question of the show, in terms of like, what is your level of satisfaction?
Right.
It made me think about how it's so much about the compatibility. There are some couples that they might have sex so infrequently, and
right,
they could both be saying it's a 10 because that's just what they're both happy with.
Their level, you know, of satisfaction is high, you're saying, right?
Right. The level of satisfaction could be really high, as opposed to another couple who might be having sex really frequently, but, you know, it's, you know, does one partner want it more, and
right,
does that create problems in the relationship? And as long as both people are on the same page, then that creates, you know, the balance. And if they're not on the same page, then, you know, I would definitely not, you know, undermine the importance of being able to communicate. Because if you can talk about what's going on in the bedroom, and you can, you know, if all of the same themes that we've been talking about, right? If the woman wants more courting, and if that's more of the focus, being
right,
able to just talk about it, you know, and I think from the man's perspective, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to just talk about it. This has been an issue for so long.
Right.
And they could feel resentful or not interested in doing that. But I think for the men, oftentimes in couples therapy, that's the buy-in, that if you talk about it, it's actually going to improve your sex life.
Yes, I said at the very top of the show that I've been running men's groups for over 10 years. You know, different men's groups. I've done personal development workshops between men and women, co-ed, for adults and for teenagers. And it's interesting that the topic of sex still seems to give people the heebie-jeebies. People still seem to get resistant. They get all weirded out about it. And I do believe one of the ways to having a different relationship, not better or worse, just a different relationship to sex, to intimacy, is to have conversations. Have conversations with your partner. Have conversations with your friends. You know, have conversation. Be in a conversation. Be in a discovery, right? Be in an inquiry. Notice. Notice what triggers inside of you. Notice your body sensations when the topic comes up or when the person is making a request or the person is disconnecting, or, you know, meaning your partner, for example. Just notice, right? Just, you know, just like we notice things about our career, we notice things about our health and well-being, we notice things about our finances, right? And we spend so much time having those conversations with our partners, with our friends, with our business colleagues. I really do believe the disruption here, the opportunity is to have sex be an everyday conversation for people, right? That mm-hmm. without the taboo, without the mystery, without the drama. Let me ask you this question. I said at the top of the show that one of the themes for today was that I believe that your ability to be fulfilled in the bedroom, and to your point, everybody has defines what a 10 is on their level of satisfaction, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, right? Regardless, you know, frequency, the quality, the creativity, etc., right? Multiple partners, whatever it is, right? Everyone is going to give themselves a 10 or a 5 or a 2, defining it based on what fulfills them, right? What I was saying at the beginning of the show is that your ability to be a 10 or to be as close to a 10 or to be committed to being a 10, I believe, and I want to hear from you, I believe impacts the rest of your life. It impacts your relationship to yourself. It impacts your relationship to other people in your family. It impacts your relationships in business. It impacts your relationship to finances. It impacts your relationship to your health and well-being. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think if somebody, it's also a larger perspective of how they're feeling in the relationship. If somebody feels like unhappy in their marriage, how are they going to work? How are they, you know, are they spending longer hours at work and then feeling resentful about it? You know, it translates to everything.
Right.
And I think the same is true of being aware of what your sexual needs are and making sure that you're getting them met. I think something that was really interesting that you just said was about someone's capacity to be a 10,
right,
you know, in their own lives. And I think thinking about your own relationship with yourself and what that person, regardless of what's going on in the relationship, we as individuals are all bringing our own history into the mix.
Right.
In terms of, like, you know, whatever the previous partner situation was or previous, you know, issues, if there's like anatomical issues, you know, whatever
right.
is going on as an individual. And I think it's really good to be aware of what your stuff is so that when you bring it up in the communication, it doesn't become just a blame game or, you know, a contentious fight.
Right. You're saying be self-aware so that you can own whatever you're bringing. Again, not right or wrong, but you're bringing
right.
something, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And to be able to be vulnerable with understanding if you're the kind of person who's never satisfied in anything in life, be it your sex life or, you know, you're not satisfied at work because you think that you're the one who's always doing everything, you know, whatever your script is, that narrative, and your whole show is about disrupting that script and being able to have the insight to question it.
Right.
So I think with sex also being able to say, like, well, am I even giving room to be able to be satisfied, or is this becoming part of the conversation of the relationship so that you're holding that over the other person? You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
using it in a negative way, or, you know, are you vulnerable enough to be able to say, well, here's what I really need, and here are my own personal blocks of why, you know, that's not happening. Maybe you have a busy schedule. Maybe if you have whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'm a big believer in, you know, I think your ability to bring a version of you into your sexuality with your partner where you feel self-expressed, where you feel like you can have a voice, where you can have conversations, where you can take responsible risks, where you can be creative, where you can feel safe to explore. I do believe, and I want to hear what you have to say, I believe you can then transfer all those ways, right, all those things that you're doing in the bedroom, if you will, with your partner, you can transfer them everywhere else.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want people to really get that because I think sometimes we have it like our sexuality and our intimacy is compartmentalized, and it's very different from us. It's very different from the rest of our lives. And I'm saying your sexuality, your relationship to your intimacy, how you view and interact with sex is you. It's part of who you are. And so if you're not self-expressed in one place, call it the bedroom, if you're not self-expressed with your partner, if you don't feel safe to explore and be creative, then I believe it transcends into the business, into the workforce. I think you're going to show up at work less likely to have a voice, less likely to share a differing perspective, right?
Yeah, and I think a key feeling there is, are you hopeful that situations can improve, or do you feel hopeless about it? Because when people have been in ruts in relationships where if they aren't fulfilled and that goes on for a long time, they can start shutting down, not communicating, and not thinking that their situation could improve because they just feel like that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And I think something that's really empowering from the coaching that you do is to show people, no, you can disrupt that. You can change that way of thinking, and to be able to kind of have that extension of hope beyond yourself, even if you've been in the same rut for 10 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a mentor of mine that I've quoted many times on the show, her name is Robin Lynn. She once said, you know, you bring yourself everywhere. And that's really what I'm highlighting here is that, you know, if you believe that, right, or at least just try that on for a moment, you bring yourself everywhere, right? So, you said earlier, hey, if you're somebody who's grumpy and disconnected and not happy in general, right, in your life at work or with your friends, chances are you're bringing that version of yourself into the bedroom, and vice versa. If you're grumpy and disconnected and feel shut down in the bedroom, then you're going to bring that version of you outside as well. And I really want people to get that the bedroom, if you will, and being with your partner in different ways, from having different kinds of conversations, or even just having a conversation where in the past you may not have, or exploring with them, then gives you access to being that way in other places with other people outside of the bedroom, in places like business, in your community, with your family, etc. Jessica, I want to play a quick George Carlin funny audio clip of things you should not say before having sex, and I want you to help build on that. Is that okay?
Yeah, great.
Okay, awesome.
These are things that you want to try and stay away from. You might think about saying these things,
yes,
but you want to refrain from them.
During sex, these are things you don't want to say.
But everybody looks funny naked.
That's something you don't want to say.
No. You woke me up for that?
See, there's...
Oh, did I mention a video camera?
Not a good one.
Thanks. Oh, hell, baby. A little rug burn never hurt anybody.
See, that's right there. That's it.
Sweetheart, did you lock the back door, Becky?
You know, that's in the car.
Hey, could you pass me the remote control? Now, I think, do you accept Visa? Is unacceptable.
Not good. Great sex.
On second thought, let's turn off the lights. That's not really romantic.
And to think I was really trying to pick up your friend. In this,
see, don't during sex. That's not a good.
Gee, I hope you're as good looking when I'm sober.
You get any of the premium movie channel? During sex is not a good thing to say.
If you're a woman, try not to smear my makeup, will you?
Even worse if you're a guy and you say
that's true.
Smile your uncandid camera. Probably not a good thing to say during
sex. I thought you had the keys to the handcuffs.
Women, listen to me now. Mm-hmm. I want a baby.
It's not.
There's that.
Jessica, what would you add to that list? Things you should not say before having sex.
Well, I think the general theme with really all of those comments is anything that takes you out of it, right? So anything that's not in the present moment, that's focused on all five senses with your partner in that, you know, present feeling, really every one of those comments, it's really interesting. It's like all a distraction of something outside or something that is a judgment on what's happening.
Yes, that's a great, great point. And for those of you who are listening and watching, please send in your online comments. What would you add to what you should stay away from saying when you're about to have whoopee? I'm using an old term, having whoopee, and getting intimate and connected with your partner. We've had Dr. Jessica Koblenz on for the last two segments. Dr. Jessica Koblenz, can you give us how to get in touch with you?
Yes. Yeah, so you could go to my website, which is www.astoriatherapist.com. That's A-S-T-O-R-I-A, therapist.com. And you can call me at 516-725-5551 if you're interested in an individual or couples session.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being on the show. And I'll ask again, will you be on the show with us again?
Of course. Would love to. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of the Sunday and weekend.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Okay, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We're going to have parting shots right next, and we're talking about sex. Feel like making love.
Second floor, hardware, children's wear, ladies' lingerie. Oh, good morning, Mr. Tyler. Going down.
All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Feel like making love, talking about sex today. That was Love in an Elevator by Aerosmith. What's been your most creative place where you've been sexual with someone? What's the most creative place? Send in your online comments or call in at 212-650-6903. We have an online comment from the last segment about things you should not say right before you're about to have sex. Brother Nick, one of our disruptors out there, he said, just a reminder, the game starts in 15 minutes. Yes, avoid saying that. Although if it's the Warriors and the Cavaliers, maybe they'll understand. Okay, you're right. They will not understand. Okay, so we are live every Sunday on WHCR, WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. This is the Dudes of Disruption. We have a podcast that drops every Monday on iTunes and on Podomatic. We continue to be in the top 10. Here's my parting shots. There's a couple things I want to say about my parting shots here, which is talk about sex, explore your sexuality, poke around your sexuality with your partner, and then repeat that process. Talk about it. I mean, I know that sounds simple. Yes, it's that simple. People don't talk to their partners about sex. They don't talk about what they want, what they don't want. People don't make requests. People don't take responsible risks. People are not creative enough. People don't voice what's important to them. Talk about sex, folks. Explore it. Explore your sexuality. Take the mystery and the drama out of it. Loosen the grip on the significance that we give it. Let's take away the mystery and the drama and all this hush-hushness that we have about one of the most important things in our lives. And for the dudes out there, don't take sex for granted with your partners. Appreciate your partners in between the times that you are sexual and intimate with them. Look for ways to support them so they feel like they've got somebody that's on their team. They feel supported. They have a partner. Do that. Stay in communication with them. Flirt with them over text message. Flirt with them throughout the day. Woo them. Do all those little things so that when you do want sex, that they reciprocate. Because, again, women and men, based on today's conversation, are different. Not right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative. Women and men are different around sex, and it's really, really important that we are aware of those differences so that we can then adjust how we approach each other and that we pay homage and that we honor how different we really, really are. Again, you've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We had Dr. Jessica Koblenz, a psychologist. We're back next week from 2 to 3. We have a podcast that drops tomorrow on iTunes and on Podomatic. Check us out on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption, Twitter, and on Instagram. And we end every show, like we have the previous 104 times, with a Dr. Seuss quote, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened."